Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and good evening. You're listening to the Pastor J. Rouse Show, and I am Pastor J. Rouse. We had a bit of technical trouble there. I'm not sure what's going on, but bear with us, praise God. Today is April the 2nd, 2014, and it's a Wednesday night, and I tell you, it's like we've never had before. We have a panel of some very fine and wonderful gentlemen who are going to be on the show with us this evening, and you are going to enjoy the conversation. As we say, the discussion begins, praise God. But let's kick it off with the music. I'm not sure what happened to our theme, praise God, but we will kick it off either way. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to some Kirk Franklin. His eye is on the sparrow.
Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches.
Amen. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know he watches me. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pastor J. Rouse Show, live on air and direct, courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And I pray you had a day that was filled with glory and joy and love and laughter. Praise God. And you know what? If your day wasn't so good, just think about it. It may not be good today, and it may not be good right now, but tomorrow is new mercies and new beginnings. Amen. Let's give God some glory. Amen. Tonight we are kicking off our Men of Honor and Mighty Men of God edition, and it's April the 2nd, 2014, and I tell you, ladies, if you're listening, it's going to be a month to remember because it's nothing but men, 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 and more men. I think it's so important that we give men some honor for being the stand-up guys they are because, you know, we spend so much cutting them down when we need to help build them up, praise God. And I'm sorry, but much like women, we have to be so mindful that we don't like to be judged by the ones that aren't acting right out there. The men always seem to take a harder knock from us, and so we want to make sure we can focus on good men out there, godly men out there, and we want to make sure that the men who are listening, that they can share with us, and not only just share, but they can grow and learn. And you know what? You might have a young man who's trying to do something with himself right now, but we want to help encourage him. And some of these men that we're going to be focusing on this month are doing things, are focusing on what the Lord wants them to do, and have some things that they can share. So I know it's an absolute joy and blessing, and praise God, I feel good. Amen. Let's get some worship on. I think we need to bring the Lord into this place. So you know what? We can't do it any better, but with my wonderful choir that I've fallen in love with, and I'm sorry, yes, I'm a little biased because I'm a Windsor girl, and this is the Detroit Mass Choir, and we worship you.
With outstretched hand, my mouth full of praise, with words of faith, I used to start each day. Lord, I know that I can't thank you enough. All you've done for me, you hung your head, you bled and died just to save a wretch like me. So I give my heart, you can use it as you please, and as long as I live, I'm gonna praise you. Down on my knees.
and all of our souls, God, we
worship you.
Everything stripped away.
Yes, we worship you. Praise God. There is no other like the man that we know we need to love first and foremost, because he first loved us, and therefore we should not only love him, but we got to do one of the hardest things possible. We have to love one another and love our neighbors as ourselves. And I've always said, if you don't love yourself, well, it's kind of hard to love your neighbors. So guess what? Love begins within, and love starts with you. Amen. Praise God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just glorify you this evening. Father, we thank you. Father, we lift up as we speak, Father, that there's a shooting going on at Fort Hood, Father God, and we don't know what it is, and we know that it's quite large because of all the emergency workers you have there. Father God, we speak life and not death. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask right now that you put a hedge of protection around those who need to protect. And Father, continue to guide us as we go through each day. Father God, we thank you because we are not in those situations. Father God, we look to Chile right now, Father God, who have gone through earthquake and tsunamis. And Father God, we ask that you would just put up a standard, Father. You said, if we ask, it shall be done. And therefore, we put it to you in the name of Jesus. But Father God, we ask right now for those listeners who did not have an encouraging day, Father God, that we want to speak encouragement into their lives, Father God. We want to allow them to know that if they stand up and they stand tall, knowing that God is before them, beside them, above them, below them, and behind and all around them, then nothing can come to them that the Lord can't handle. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now that you touch their hearts and their lives. And Father God, we say right now that you take the burdens from them. Father God, let them have a mind of trust and faith to release all things to you and let you do what you do best, and that's work for our good. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak to those who are not well or ill or need a healing, Father God, who need a touch from you. Father, we ask that you bring lovers of love into their life, Father God, so that they can always feel that they have the presence of you around. We are you in flesh. So, Father God, use us according to thy will. But more importantly, Father God, we ask that you bless our listeners. Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch their lives. Oh, hallelujah. Father Jesus, Jesus, we just ask right now that you would go forth, continue to work on their hearts, to lift their spirits, to fill their lives with joy. And Father, we speak prosperity into their lives. We speak all good things according to thy purpose. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would continue to use them. And those who don't know that they can be used, we ask right now that they submit and surrender unto you, and you continue to mold and make them according to your will. And Father, we ask that you bless our guests. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. We thank you for men of honor and men of God. Father God, the churches are filled with women. We need to call on the men to stand up and be who you have already preordained them to be, that they would take their rightful place, Father, and do as you wish. Take over, take over, take over right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I hand this show over to you now, Lord. Have your way, have your will, and glory all goes to you. Continue to use me. Let my words be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm excited, but we're going to keep moving. This is the introduction by Laos in Harmony. Praise God.
Have you been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Of mercy. hello to the Prince of Peace. Say hello to the coming King. Say hello.
Let me introduce you to a man. I'm going to introduce you to quite a few men tonight, praise God. But the man that this song talks about is none other than my beloved Jesus, amen. And this is our holy month, praise God. Yes, I know a lot of you thought Christmas was that month, but no, Christmas is special, but it's nowhere near as special as this. Because a man who liveth surely must die. And so we celebrate more his death than his birth. I know it sounds weird, and you know what? I'm going to give you a chance to understand all of that, because that's one of our announcements that we have coming up in the next week or two, and it's going to be rather interesting. Plus, coming soon, online and on air, Bible study and teachings by moi, Pastor J. Rouse. Praise God. We'll give you more information as we move along. But right now, let's do our celebration for birthdays, praise God. As we had a big birthday bash for a surprise for our big boss at the office today, praise God. And so we want to wish him a happy birthday. And we have to do a shout out there to our lady rapper, Miss BZ Walker, praise God. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Sister BZ. Praise God. She's been busy performing all over the place. I've been watching some of the stuff she's been doing. And we want to wish all of you who celebrated a birthday from last week up until now, praise God, that you're not celebrating by yourself. Also, if you've had some achievement that you've just accomplished, we want to give a shout-out to our friend, Mr. Darren Ziwak. We'll hopefully hear from him on our next panel session on April the 23rd. He's actually in Tennessee right now recording his next album, praise God. So I know he's excited. And in the studio where some famous people did their recording, so we'll get to hear more about that in a couple weeks. And we want to celebrate everybody who's graduating. We've got lots of graduates coming up soon because the universities and the colleges are starting to close out and getting ready to close up their session. So congratulations. We got some engagements, praise God. And we got some new babies and all sorts of exciting things happening. So you know what? You deserve it. Amen. We're not silly. We're not crazy. We just really, really happy. So we just want you to know that we are truly excited for everything that you accomplish and everything that happens in your life. But to help us celebrate, this is for our birthday, folk. So you know we're happy for you. And may the Lord continue to bless you. Amen. Happy birthday. And again, God bless you. God keep you. God sustain you. And the Lord provide for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. We're moving along. I want you to check out our page, our first Facebook page, Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. We're going to be relisting tomorrow. You want to check it out because we're going to update our page with current events and happenings around the world, praise God. If you ever want to contact us, you can email us at PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com. You can email us at RouseMinistriesBroadcasting@gmail.com. And yes, we tweet, because if the little bird could tweet, then why can't I? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm on Twitter at Pastor Rouse Show. Now remember, there's no J on Twitter, just Pastor Rouse Show. Amen. Praise God. All right, we're going to be updating all our information tomorrow. So I need you to take a look and check it all out then. Just to get a few things in there, by the way, there are two film festivals in the Toronto region that are actually starting. I think one started yesterday and the other one starts today, April 2nd to the 4th, I believe, and that's the Vaughan Film Festival and also Real World Film Festival by the wonderful Tanya Lee. This was her brainchild, her baby, and she had put this together basically for, it's a Canadian film festival, and it's people of color and culture and ethnicity, praise God. Don't get it mistaken with the Toronto International Film Festival, but this is a special film festival, and it's called Real World. So I want you to check it out. We're going to post some more information on this, but tonight we want to focus on the men, praise God. Now, we'll be playing all men, all men's music. We have all sorts of guests coming, and we're so excited. Throughout the month, we've got Men of God's Heart, Gospel Recording Artist Group. I can't wait for you to talk to these guys. They just are amazing. And I'm telling you, you are in for an ultimate treat. We have a guest coming who's going to be representing also the Good Men Project, praise God. And we've got a couple other different special men's projects and groups that are going to come on, and they're going to be speaking with us throughout the month of April. And yes, I did mention at the beginning that we have another panel of men joining us, April 23rd, because we're going to have our discussion continued, praise God. I think this is long overdue, and we want to hear from the men, and we want to talk to the men, and we want to know what the men are thinking, and we want to know how it is to be the type of man that they are. Amen. Praise God. And tonight's panel is going to consist of our beloved friend, and we like to consider him and his wife family now, praise God, Maurice Gray. He's a wonderful hip-hop and rap recording artist, and definitely you'll be hearing from him. You always hear his music, and you'll hear some of his music tonight, praise God. And I know he's got a new album out. You definitely want to hear. We'll let him tell you all about that. We have gospel recording artist Dante, who we just introduced to our listeners a few weeks ago, and his wife and him, they're like adopted family now too. Pastor Rouse, be adopted family like I've got none. Praise God. But the Lord said we are all one. Amen. Praise God. I just hope they all have room for me when I want to come and visit, and they better be cooking up a storm. Praise God. We also have another former guest of mine, and wonderful, wonderful gentleman, and his wife. Actually, his family just grew more recently, too, and I know they had a baby as well. Well, that baby's probably quite large now and older, and probably would tell me off when I come over to visit. But Andrew Mahorn is a founder and director of the Gospel Fest on Film, and we had interviewed him last year when we covered the film festival, and we got to see Cheryl Nemhard and Cheryl Weber's films, and just had a phenomenal time, and can't wait to see what they've got in store for their film festival this year, and you know we will be there. And we have a new guest on our panel, and his name is Israel Harriet. He's a men's ministry leader within the Church of God of Prophecy. And while I say that, I have to give a shout-out to my girl, Sister Jackie Steele, because that's her church, the Church of God of Prophecy, and I love going to her church, and I love some of her church members, and I want to give a shout-out to her and her family. Praise God. Amen. But let's keep things moving. We want to get to the talk. Amen. So we're going to check out right now. Now, here's what we need to hear. This is Dante. I'll do this. Okay, and we'll be right back.
A man that's born again. Was married in 90, had four children. I lost my first little man. In 97, our three children belonged to the state. 3 months later, the three returned to a holy man and woman. Falsely accused, it was a test by this trial. But God had his hand in the plan all the while. From 98 to 2000, everything was going fine. And all of a sudden we allow the devil to play games with our mind.
Many days
are come and go.
God never left me alone.
He was right there by my side.
His trial was made for me.
Now I can give you glory, I can give you glory.
Many days
are come and go. Many days are come and go, 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 go.
God never left me alone.
He was right there by my side. I'm gonna give you true glory. Now let me finish telling my story. Chapter 2 begins. Here we go again. 2002 to 2005. My wife and I call it the end. We thought it was best. Too much pain and stress. Our character returned back to us. Now God can bless. Now I'm not a man that doesn't have faith. But when you let go God's hand, you allow the devil to take his place. I praise God for my children, they still love their mother and father. The curse is broken, it stops right here, it doesn't go on any further.
Many days have come and gone,
yes it has.
God never left me alone.
You was right there by my side.
His trial was made for
it was made for me, designed for me. Now I can go on and tell my story.
Many
days have come and gone.
God never left me alone.
Right there by my side, yes you are.
His trial was made for me.
Now I can give you glory, I can give you glory.
Many days have come and gone.
Many days have come and gone.
God never left me alone.
You never left me alone, no, no.
His trial was made for me.
It was made for me. It was made for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm gonna give you praise.
God never left me.
I'm gonna live for you.
His trial was made for
me. When I sing my song, when I play the keyboard, when I sell my CDs and my DVDs, I'm gonna give it back all to you. My three babies, my life, my soul, everything that I have, it was made for me. Now I can go on and tell my story.
Right away. Stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no, don't stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Stay strong. See, I was just a poor boy in Spanish Town, Jamaica. I never would a new boy until I met the maker. He told me, my son, careful what you say to my people, the people. Stay strong, oh, stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt, stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong.
On the block, on the corner, down the lane, and the crevice.
Youths are dying.
Politicians and the crooked cops, everywhere they're denying. More knowledge, more jobs, more life, the youth them crying. Said that no one they better must come. So stay strong.
Stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt. Stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
The ghetto youth in trouble, that great trouble, don't look good to me. The city them using shovel, bury each other. Lord, can you help me, please? Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong. Stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt. Stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong. Stay strong, stay strong, my sister. Never give up, no doubt. Stop holding on. Stay strong, my brother. Love them even though they're wrong. Stay strong, my children. Don't let hate overcome your heart. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
No matter what the circumstances is or the problem is, just keep your head up, yeah? Wow, well, I'm it. Focus on the positive side of life. Leave the negative aside, you know what I mean? And just let love override every doubt, every failure. Put God first and just stay strong.
Amen. You heard him. That was Jermaine Cowan, another one of our favorite musicians here on the Canadian side, who's an international gospel reggae artist. Praise God. And that was Stay Strong. And we're playing that today because we need all the men in our lives to continue to stay strong. But we also know, he said, to look to God and put God first. Amen. And so that's exactly what we need to find out this evening. We have a kit and caboodle of men hanging on the line. And I feel so powerful right now. Praise God. And I know the one person in that room is laughing is going to be Maurice Gray. Praise God. Thinking Pastor Jay's just cutting up. But that is the joy of being a wonderful Christian and loving life and knowing that life is good because the Lord is in it. Amen. Praise God. So now we're going to start our discussion. So I'm going to bring everyone online. I got to make sure I get them all right. I hope all of them. I messed up, I think, with Andrew, so we have to make sure he's there. Let me put his mic on. Brother Andrew, are you there? Oh,
yes,
praise God. Okay. All right. Let me bring in somebody else. Praise God. I believe this is Brother Maurice.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You're the one person who'd run on me. Okay. Hang in there, beloved. Okay. We got another one to add. I believe my next person we have on here is Dante. Is that you?
Hey.
Oh, it sounds like Dante's having a bag of potato chips.
Hey, no, that's
are you there?
Me.
Okay. Okay. I can hear you. And we got our last guest for our panel. Brother Israel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. There was a delay. I got worried. Praise God. All right. So our panel is now officially open. Now, before we even begin our discussion, praise God, I need to introduce you all very well and properly. So why don't we start off with Brother Andrew Mahorn, and I was even talking about the newest addition you had to your family. I don't know if there's any more, but the last I heard, well, the last time I saw your wife, she had a little baby bump in her, and then I knew the baby was born. Now, that baby, oh, my. How
That's
old is baby
Levi.
Over here? Yeah.
Well, no, five months. That's baby Levi, yes.
5 months? Okay,
yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit, because you know I enjoyed the Gospel Film Festival, and I'm hoping we're going to see some more stuff happening this year. Do you have anything coming up?
At the moment, no, but good Lord's working.
Amen.
With a growing family, things have changed slightly. Lord willing, there will be another one. The industry is growing. So trusting in God that he will work something out, but we'll see.
And it's funny because I guess right now, and forgive me, I shouldn't be putting bad stuff out on the air, but I'm just speaking the truth, but there's a lot of Christian movies that are very much out there now, which must really warm your heart, because we just did a review on Son of God. And as you know, it came from the series of the Bible, which is a blessing
yes.
to see. Lord, forgive me, but I am not going to see Noah because...
Well, you know what? That's the Spirit of God giving you discernment right there, because I don't want to
yes.
sidetrack from the conversation too much. But yes. Christian movies are doing so well that
mm-hmm.
Hollywood... They're basically noticing that the financial prosperity that the church is giving
mm-hmm.
towards these movies, and they've basically hired a well-known director and chosen a Bible story from the Bible and made a movie of it. And so, of course,
yeah.
the Spirit of God isn't there, and us Christians with the blessed with the Holy Spirit of discernment know
yeah.
just by the previews and reading about it that it's not for us. So I applaud your discernment there. But yeah, that's basically what's going on.
Yeah, I'm trying to behave. I really am. Just the words. Epic. Just kind of threw
yeah.
me off there. And when I went to see Son of God, I saw the advertisement for it, and my jaw dropped. And suddenly, the world flooding and an ark and something so sacred turned into a gladiator movie. I wasn't sure what happened there.
I haven't seen Son of God yet, but I've seen the previews for Noah, and I've also heard a few interviews, and
yeah.
Right off the bat, I knew that this is almost a mockery.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to do what we do best, Brother Andrew, and we're going to keep praying. Amen?
Yes, definitely.
Amen.
So Hollywood right. needs our prayers.
Big time. All right. We also have, across the border, we have Maurice Gray. Maurice, you're dropping
hey,
it like
hey.
It's hot. You're dropping it like it's hot. I heard there's a new sound out.
Yes. I'm trying to pass the mantle.
Okay, go on now. You know that's a hard torch to pass, so go on now. So you have a new album out. You got to share a little bit with us.
Okay. My new album is out, titled Church Folks and Gossip. That's self-explanatory
Ooh.
There, the title.
Mm-hmm.
My singles have been released March 11th. My first single is titled Your Life. And I think that's one of
right.
your favorites. And
yep.
my second single is Somebody Loves You, which has reached the number 22 on the gospel chart.
Okay, very
so
good. Very good.
Looking for great things.
Okay.
Yeah, looking for great things. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you serve a great God. I'm well, praise God. Thank you.
Amen. You were right. I am going to be
well.
The one laughing and giggling a lot.
Yeah. And Bernice in the background, no doubt.
You know, I put her out the room.
good, good. good Christian folk. That's all right. You got to love them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So.
Now,
well,
I know we've got we're going to have a good chat tonight. We have another person across the border, and I still have to connect you to Dante.
Yes. How you doing? How's
I'm well,
everybody?
Praise God. I'm well. You're working on some new stuff as well, I understand.
Yes, actually two projects. I got a gospel jazz CD entitled Music in the Manger and my gospel CD, I'll Do This, my first title song. Yeah, and we're doing
That's right.
a lot of traveling. Yes, indeedy. Just doing a lot of traveling, different shows and different engagements and just spreading the word through songs.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because I know you're getting back out there and touring. I saw some stuff, so we've been promoting it as well. So I know, once again, the Lord is in it. It will do well. Amen?
Yes, amen. I'm in agreement. Yes, he has to be first.
Yes, always. Now, we've got one other person, and this is somebody new to us. So I know Brother Andrew knows him, but I don't know him. And his name is Israel. Is it Harriet?
Harriet, yes. Israel Harriet.
Okay. Can you share a little bit about who you are? And we, and as I said, I had to get that straight, the Church of God of Prophecy.
That's correct. I'm one of the lay ministers at the Erie Street Gospel Center. It's
That's my big brother.
The Church of God of Prophecy, yeah.
Come on, Andrew, let the man speak, trying to big him. I tell you, these men are out of order already.
I am the leader of the men's ministry group there. I am also a high school teacher. I teach in Scarborough, and
We have to pause for that because I'm a Scarbarian. Hold on, take a moment. Yes, all right, that's right.
Okay.
A shout out to all our Scarbarians. Go ahead.
Yeah, so exactly. And so I've been teaching for about maybe 15 years or something like that, 16. And I just have a real heart, a real passion for men's ministry, for young men, for boys, you know, for seniors. And the Lord has been helping me to understand this ministry and not really taking it in a typical way, but in kind of a different spin on things. And the ministry that its focus is striving to be the Genesis man and really examining. Examining what it means to be masculine and what manhood is, and examining Genesis chapter 2 and looking at the elements of masculinity and manhood as laid out according to Adam, who was the first
Adam,
man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So maybe later on, if we have time, I can just tell you a bit about that. But
sure. Sounds good.
I've got a great wife, and I have four kids.
I think
and three girls and one boy.
The boy, praise God.
You called a little bit earlier than I expected, so I was in the middle of doing a bath, you know. Glad to be on the show.
Okay, there you go. Sacrificed his children, people, to be a part of the Pastor J. Rouse show. Amen. Praise
Amen
God. I know another man who almost had to sacrifice a child, but thank God for the ram in the bush. Amen.
Amen.
All right, gentlemen, we're here to have a brief discussion, and the topic that we picked out for the month of April was Men of Honor and Mighty Men of God. And so I kind of want to put it out. We put the question out there. We're going to be discussing this question throughout the month. But I really want to hear some men. And I also asked for some background information, not just because I wanted to hear all about you. I already know about you, and I've picked you. You are handpicked. And referred, I have to say referred, because if Brother Andrew thinks you're okay, then you're okay in my list, praise God. But the thing is, I picked you guys because you are men of caliber. You are men who are doing things. And it's not so much that you're doing what God wants you to do, but there's still a part of honor that belongs to the world as opposed to the church. So, who'd like to go first? I want to hear what your thoughts are on being a mighty man or of God or a man of honor. No volunteers?
Don't everyone go at once.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick some
phrases. I don't mind going first.
Israel, the teacher. Well, let the teacher speak. Praise God. Go ahead, leader.
Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I was thinking about that as I was driving in today. I commute to work. And so it might sound a little bit strange, right? But sometimes I think that, we are called to be men of God. And sometimes that seems like such a high calling, such a hard calling. I mean, at best with all of our flaws, you know, it's hard to aspire to be that, especially without the grace of God. We need the grace of God to do that. And then when I was thinking about, you know, being a man of honor, I mean, to me that is also kind of difficult because, you know, that requires stuff that you do to make you honorable, you know. And so in both cases, one is it's kind of hard to attain. It's a bit lofty. I mean, I work with a lot of young men at school, and it's hard enough to kind of figure out whether or not you are a man. But then to, you know, to say that, you know, am I really a man of God? Is this such, you know, such a high calling? And so, you know, because I can go on for a while, so make sure you stop me.
Oh, no.
But it's interesting because
I will. The show's called Pastor J. Rao Show. Don't worry, Israel. You're good.
Okay. What I find interesting is that this sounds a bit strange, but, you know, the question, what is a man? You know, if I were to define what is a man, I would say, you know, a man is someone who's about 13 years of age or older and is male. Right? And that seems like, well, you might be asking, well, are you setting the bar really low? And what I think is that I think that's the wrong question. You know, the question is not, are you a man? But the question is, what kind of man do you want to be? I think that's where the question lies that we don't try to answer, right? And like I said, I go back to this idea of the Genesis man, right? We define masculinity and manhood as, you know, a jock, or you play sports, or you play dominoes, or, you know, you conquer sexually, whatever. You know, there are these cultural definitions of masculinity and manhood.
Right.
But when you look at Adam, all right, in Genesis chapter 2, there are a couple things, these pillars that that we see in Adam that define manhood and masculinity. And the first thing was a work ethic and having a purpose. You know, God called Adam to tend the garden. And a really interesting thing is that before God even made Adam, there's a scripture that says that he, when he was communing with in the Trinity, basically he said, you know, there's no man to tend this. You know, so there's this idea that a man's purpose is even before he was born. So, you know, purpose, work is one of the elements of masculinity, right? And also moral responsibility. We don't see moral responsibility as a trait of masculinity, but, you know, God told Adam, you know, don't eat of the tree. He was a morally responsible agent, right? Family relations, right? That's another element. Family relations, you know, God made Eve for Adam because Adam was alone, and you know, there's something wrong with being alone because God said it was not good for man to be alone.
Man to be alone,
And now solitude is different from being alone, but I think what God was saying is that there was no, there was community with the animals, male and female. There was community in the Trinity, but this guy was just by himself naming animals, right?
Well, and I'm gonna interrupt you just for a minute because ironically enough, when you said about being alone, haven't you noticed that there's a scripture that says when two or more are gathered,
the Spirit of God is there.
That's right.
Amen. And that you start to realize that, like you said, solitude is to be alone and to be thinking or whatever, because the song says, I came to the garden alone, right? But you'll notice that he says when two or more. So there has to be some kind of kinship or fellowship or groupship or togetherness to formulate some kind of extra power from the Lord. And that's why we talk about the praying family.
Right, and it's also, just because you don't have a family or a wife doesn't put you off the hook as a man. I think part of that relationship is also mentoring, right?
Yes.
That was my next point, actually.
Men to be mentors, right? So you're not off the hook simply if you're not married or if you don't have kids, right? And if I were to
Sure. Oh, one more thing. Hold on. I heard a voice. Was that Andrew or who was that?
Well, yeah, that was mentoring was my next point. That's another aspect of manhood. It's not good enough to just strive to be a man after God's own heart, but to train up other young men to be better than you are. I think is another huge aspect of being a man of God. You know, you can't just be a man all by yourself. You know, you have other men, older men to learn from. You have your peers, and then you have the young ones who need to be trained up. And I guess these are vague, general terms. We can get specific, but part of being a man is mentoring and leading younger ones to be better than you are.
And I kind of like the connection because, as Israel was saying, and we were talking about being more than one for that extra power, and he's saying, well, you know, because you don't have a wife or you don't have a girlfriend or a significant somebody in your life, that, you know, there is still friendship out there. And so him saying that, and now you're saying it's a generational thing because it actually is preordained. So not only are we supposed to be able to train each other up, but we have to learn and we have to continue the cycle. It's like a legacy that we have to pass on. So it's something that was learned from Adam, and then it moves on from there. Anything else you want to add, Brother Andrew?
Well, this is such a broad topic. We could be here for a long time. But yeah, just a few things that Brother Israel mentioned. You know, being a man of God, and then you mentioned where more than one are God, where more than one are the Lord is in the midst. And what comes to mind is the power of union between man and woman. Woman adds so much to a man's life, and that's another aspect of manhood, aside from mentoring. But those are just two excellent points that Israel mentioned that we can, expand upon as in our conversation as to what it means to be a man of God.
Amen.
One more point.
Yeah, go ahead. If I disappear, I've got a caller coming in. So you guys keep talking. Go ahead, Israel.
There's one of my most favorite things. Example of masculinity and manhood is this idea of declaration. A man is someone who speaks into the lives of the people around him, his family, his wife, his kids, the people he's mentoring. And we see an example of this when God puts Adam to sleep, and then he creates Eve. And when Adam sees Eve, he says, he makes this amazing statement to Eve. He says, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Yes.
You know, and later on he says, you are a woman because you come from a man. So we see Adam declaring his love to Eve. Imagine how Eve felt, you know, to hear these words. You know, we tend to think that men were, we are created to build bridges and to build planes and cars. But I really believe with all my heart that God made men to build people, to build into the lives of girls and boys, and to build into the lives of our wives, and to build into the lives of other young men. You know, I think I think that's one of the important things about manhood and masculinity, and we don't often see that, right? I think men can be too silent.
Well, and I think, and that's the thing. I mean, being silent or public, and that's the other thing. And this is why I've brought this discussion out, because I think it's time, because I think a lot of the good men out there aren't being recognized because, like you said, they're busy doing, and the building is a foundation, be it family, work, whatever. Everything is built on a foundation, but God is that platform that strengthens the foundation. And I think a lot of men don't get recognized for just doing the simplest things that we now consider life. It gets taken for granted. I mean, if you put out the garbage, hey, I'd be happy if someone said, I'm going to put out the garbage. But we take simple things like that for granted. But a man is doing what he believes he needs to do, and he's going to do what he's supposed to do, but it's not a big deal anymore. So they don't get recognized for the simple everyday thing of just being a man within his household. Amen?
Amen. And also, this is Dante.
Okay, go ahead, Dante.
I'm sorry. And also, and coming from the part like when Jesus came, how he handpicked the disciples with them not being perfect too, because that's the that can be a big problem. How men think they don't think that they're honorable because of their flaws and all those types of things, and how we have to use that example as Jesus has after he came, and how he taught us to break those generational curses that you are a man, you're past what you believe in, but just believe in what I believe in. Connect to me by putting him, having a true relationship with him. And when you have that relationship, that's when your mindset begins to change, and that's when you know that you are a man of honor, you're a man of God. To me, I look at him as being both the same, and that's only through Jesus Christ, you know. So as many ways, like you said, this is so broad, but coming from that set of the relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you know, and just being that example through that way.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jesus is the – sorry.
Oh.
Yes, I'm here. I'm just,
No.
I'm just waiting.
You're taking it in. Go ahead, Israel. What were you saying?
Oh, that was me, actually. Andrew.
Oh, I don't know who me is.
Oh, it's Andrew. it's Andrew. But, just to continue with what you're saying, well, Jesus is, he's the, God, the Father, Holy Spirit in one. He is the our Holy Spirit. He is our Holy Father, our Heavenly Father. And he provides an excellent example of what a man is to both the church and the family. And as you were talking, what the thought came to me is that I recently read an article that a man or a child that grows up without a father is less likely to be open to the idea of a heavenly father. And so when we're talking about men, it was a powerful article in the Christian Herald. But I think some people use the lack of a father in their lives as an excuse for what they have become as a man. And I think it all starts with the Holy Spirit and dedicating or accepting Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father. Because if he's the perfect example of what a father should be, we can just look to him regardless of whether we grew up with a father or not, or regardless of the influences around us. Because I feel that we both have positive and negative influences that we can learn from around us. So whether you have good influences to learn what to do, or negative influences to learn what not to do, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can take both negative and positive experiences to shape who and what God needs us to be here on earth. This is something I thought about as I think it was Dante was speaking. about.
I wonder if I could say something as well. This is Israel.
Is that Israel?
Okay, go ahead.
I think one of the problems is the idea that young male don't always know how to become a man. You know, there is this, it's almost like, you know, I use myself as an example. I woke up one day and I realized that I had a wife and I had kids and I had a mortgage. And I wondered, when did I become a man? It's like sometimes we get to manhood with our eyes closed, and it's not intentional, you know. One of the things that we do in our church is that we hold ceremonies for young men.
Almost like about an hour. They do that.
Yeah, you know. It's an idea that we can come. We issue a challenge to a young man and his peers and older men. We get together and we come around and we say, you know what, you are a man now. You know, you have responsibility. Mm-hmm. We're going to be praying for you, right? You know, there's something different now about you. And you know what, sometimes with the men's ministry, you know, they're it's hard to get men to come on board, right? You know,
right.
But I started thinking that, you know, maybe the focus is not to try and find men, but to make men, right?
Mm.
Is to help these young men weather the journey of manhood and masculinity, and invite other men to come along to help us with this journey. So, you know, back in Africa, you know, there was initiation into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like in
right.
North America, we just kind of close our eyes and somehow we become a man. Like, I have a discussion group in my school of young men, and one of the guys, he's 18. And I asked him, because we were discussing about manhood and masculinity, and I asked him, I said, you know what? Are you a man? I asked him that point blank in his face, and he looked at me and said, I don't know.
Mm.
Right? No? He said, I don't know. Right? So, I think we have to shift the question and say, you know what? You are a man. Right? But the question, what kind of man do you want to be?
Well, and the thing is, like you said, we have to start preparing, and that mentorship that you guys were all talking about is important, because you can't just become, I mean, physically, we can't fight it. I mean, our bodies change from childhood to adulthood, but then that's all we become, a big mumbling mess of hormones, and we have no concept of life itself, because like you said, it'll just sneak up and catch you, because suddenly it's like, okay, I'm grown, now what? And so that's where the mentorship comes in, because as you were saying, if there's some kind of a rite of passage, it helps them to almost transgress into it, to kind of shift into it slowly. But then they have to know what it involves, because, you know, now what? I can remember telling my stepson, you know, I used to tease him, and I'd count down how many years it was going to be before he left my home, and he kept laughing. And then one day he said, well, Mommy, what am I supposed to do when I'm 18? And I said, I don't know. That's up to you. And he just kind of looked at me like horrified. But in a way, that's exactly what it is. We don't know. We don't train them to kind of shape them and mold them so they can go into that position and sort of take up where they're supposed to take on from.
I'm waiting for a chance to say something, I guess. I don't know. I'm just listening. I think somebody else is going to say something, though. I don't want to cut them off.
He's running. Brother Maurice,
well,
I know you're a man who basically dealt with life because you grew up and you were forced to live life. When you were pushed into the reality of life, how did things go for you? Because I already know your story.
Well, to basically talk about a man of honor or a man of God, I would first have to start with a dead man. For 22 years, I was a dead man. I had no sense of who God was, what he wanted from me. I had no spirituality, no knowledge of the Bible, so I was a walking dead man. I did things that I wanted to do. I wanted to chase women. I wanted to get high. I wanted to hang out in the clubs, and I didn't know who God was. And then I had an intervention with another young man, like one of my brothers was speaking about the connection and being a mentor, another young man who introduced me to Christ. And when he offered Christ to me at that moment, I had a choice to decide whether I wanted to receive it or not. Going back to the Bible and Genesis chapter 2 and 7, where the Bible talks about God creating a man, forming him from the dust of the ground and breathing into to him the breath of life. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't become a man of God, because when God created man, I already was God's man. So when I received the Holy Spirit, then I became a spiritual man. I became God's only man, that he put his spirit in me to do great things, that the world may see his glory, and even ask, how must I receive the same thing that you have? But going back to the dead man, I was dead for so long because I blamed my father for not being in my life, not taking me to the ball game, not taking me fishing. And I grew up with this anger and this animosity towards this one man that I would see periodically in my life. But God also gave me brothers, uncles, and nephews to look up to and be a mentor to me. Yes, and I've learned from my uncles how to, you know, build things. You know, I learned from my nephews, you know, even how to respect a lady, because when I was a dead man, I didn't even know how to respect women. I would call them B's and H's and just disrespect them to the fullest. But then when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a new creature. I became a new man, and I walked in integrity. And that's when I became, and God bestowed his honor upon me by other people looking and saying, now, something different about that man right there. And that would give me an open door to share my testimony with that person. And then also, we had all started off as Adams, you know, Adam being the first man of creation. And we all started off as Adam. But there's a scripture in the Bible in Genesis 3 and 9 where God calls out to Adam after Adam and Eve bit the fruit, and God was calling out to Adam. It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. He wanted Adam
where
to know,
were.
Do you know where you are? Yeah, because once we decide to do things on our own, take it upon ourselves to try to be men and say, yeah, I can handle this. You know, I can take care of all the bills. I don't need a woman in my life. I don't need this. I don't need that. Then the weight of the world falls on our shoulders, and it becomes hard for us as men to be real men. Now, I know my brothers on the phone probably don't cry, but I cry. You know, I cry in front of my wife. You know, I cry just to be crying, because real men cry, because you got so many men that have emotions bottled up inside of them, and them emotions turns into anger, and then they can't express it. So what they do, they start beating on their wives, or they start lashing out at work and, you know, picking up guns. So we have to be more mentoralized. I don't even know if that's a word, but we have to start mentoring our young men right now, because this world is crazy, because these young kids are killing like never before.
Yeah.
Men are dying left and right. A lot of our men are in jail, and God forbid, you know, that they'll lose their souls in the process, because they do have ministers in jail and people that can get the word out. But I just thank God that when he saved me, he did a great thing in me to go back out into my community or wherever I'm at and reach other people and help them grow. And I totally agree with what my brother said about connecting. Like I said, I had uncles, I had nephews and brothers who showed me things, and God used them to mentor me and bring me to a point where I am now in my life.
Now, here's the one thing I wanted to talk about, because I've combined a lot of what you all said, and it led me back, and I know the ones who had a little bit of rougher childhood or grew up in rougher neighborhoods can understand what I'm about to say, but without the right mentor, we have young men out there who have a sense of, I need someone, I need to learn from someone, I need to belong somewhere, I need to feel wanted, I need to feel needed, and I need to feel like I've got family. So they go out there and they join a gang. The gang has an initiation. They got to write a passage. It's not a nice one. But they tell them, I've got your back. and what they teach them is the wrong thing. So I guess the next thing we have to think about, and I'm going to do is we're going to take a quick break, but the next thing we have to consider now is if we need these young men, because we've learned from our elders, and we got to respect our elders, and they teach us stuff. And you know what? I'm grateful because it's nice to learn things that you don't have to go through, because there's a West Indian saying that it says, if you can't hear, you must feel, and it ain't pretty. So I know it's good to learn from our elders because it saves you going through some serious grief and heartache. But at the same point, how do we reach these younger ones who are in that need, and the gangs and the streets and the wrong friends, all of those things are in their way. So we're going to take a quick break. And while we're doing that, we're going to check out Dante's song, I'll Do This, and we'll be right back.
That's born again. Was married in 90, had four children. I lost my first little man in 97. Our three children belong to the state. 3 months later, the three returned to a holy man and woman, falsely accused. It was a test by this trial, but God had his hand in the plan all the while. From 98 to 2000, everything was going fine. And all of a sudden we allow the devil to play games with our mind.
Many days are coming on.
Many days are coming on.
God's never left me alone.
He was right there by my side.
His trial was made for me.
Now I can give you glory, I can give you glory.
Many days are coming on.
Many days are coming on, 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 on.
God's never left me alone.
He was right there by my side. I'm gonna give you true glory. Now let me finish telling my story. Chapter 2 begins. Here we go again. 2002 to 2005. My wife and I call it the end. We thought it was best. Too much pain and stress. I carry to return back to us. Now God can bless. Now I'm not a man that doesn't have faith. When you let go God's hand, you allow the devil to take his place. I praise God for my children, they still love their mother and father. The curse is broken, it stops right here, it doesn't go on any further.
Many days have come and gone,
many days have come and gone. Yes it has.
Give up, but I got faith so deep that it covers me when I'm
sleep, praise the mercy he keeps, watching over me day and night, night and day. I ain't got too much to say, but my praise is always on the tip of my tongue. I can't thank him enough. You bless me, my family, even all my stuff. Who you know can give peace in the midst of your storm, or in the midst of a song like this is where you belong. And he knows what you go through on a daily basis. Stop trying to plead your case, look at the time you waste. Mistakes we all make, but you gotta learn from them. Forgive and move on, this is how you grow from them. The devil is a liar, and that's for sure. If your garden ain't blooming, well, you reap what you sow. On that note, get your mind right, he's waiting on you. Get in his presence and he'll show you what he wants you to do.
I can take away your pain, give you life and hope and bring joy in the midst of your storm. You ain't gotta worry about what they said about you. I can mend when your heart's been torn. I see you crying day and night, tossing, turning in your sleep. I'll be there when you call for me. Friends can't do it, family down, but we can't compare what you are to me. And I say, oh, there's something on your mind. Stop wasting time. With your life, there's something on your mind. Stop wasting time. Do something with your life.
Get up, stop wasting time. You don't wanna get left behind. You have to get up and get something.
And do something with your life.
Get up, stop wasting time. You don't wanna get left behind. You need to get up and get something.
Dante, one of our panelists this evening, and you were just listening to Life with my buddy Maurice Gray, who is also on the panel, and joining myself and these two wonderful gentlemen, we also have Andrew Mahorn of Gospel Fest on Film, and we've got a ministry, men's ministry leader of the Church of God and Prophecy, Mr. Israel Harriet on the line, and we've just live here on the Pastor J. Rouse Show, courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communication. I know we had a call in earlier, and I didn't get a chance just when I went to answer the call. My caller hung up. But you can email us at PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com or RouseMinistriesBroadcasting@gmail.com and hook us up on Twitter, Pastor Rouse Show. No J, just Pastor Rouse Show on Twitter. Now, gentlemen, we were put to a challenge because we were talking about rite of passage and mentoring, and I mentioned about what the call is out there that's so enticing to a lot of the young men out on the streets with the gangs or the wrong influence or just the wrong people. And well, and I'm going to put it out there. I may end up in a lot of trouble, but, you know, we've got some guys out there who are so confused and so lost that there are men enticing them to be with other men. So where do we begin to try to help formulate and shape some of these people to connect with Jesus or even to get a foundation of knowing the man of God or the men that they are preordained to be? Anybody want to touch base with that? Brother Israel?
Well, one of the things that I feel very strongly is, I mean, you have to start with boys. Because boys are going to be men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have to start that mentorship with boys. You have to start to challenge them and help them and shape them. They've got to get through a rite of passage. You know, they have to be able to have somebody come beside them and guide them, right? I'm not saying that we are to, you know, we still have to find ways to help our young men who are out there. But, you know, let's start with the boys. Let's start with the young men who are searching, you know, for some kind of identity, you know, searching for some kind of guidance in this road of journey of manhood, right? So,
right.
I mean,
now you were saying that there's something you do at your church.
Yeah,
like
one of the things that
initiation or something.
Yeah, well, I encourage fathers and mentors to first of all, you know, do some kind of a rite of passage, right? That's
mm-hmm.
the first thing that, you know, a boy has to know that hey, there's I'm approaching something, there's something different, right?
Right.
But what we do is a ceremony, right? And
mm-hmm.
they could range from 12, they can range to when they finish high school. There's a checkpoint. We find out what is the need for that young man, and that's kind of the focus of the ceremony, right? And so the first thing that happens is that the young man is issued a challenge that they have to present to the group. You know, it could be,
right.
you know, tell us something about this, research that brings something to us as a group. And so he has to stand in front of his peers and older men, and he has to present something. And then what happens after that is that the people who are there in that ceremony, they speak into the life of that young man. You know, we take that power that God has given us as men to speak into the lives of other men. And there's
mm-hmm.
an interesting thing that we do is that we have what's called a gift of significance. Right, it's not something that
mm-hmm.
to be expensive, but it's something that should be significant, something that helps them to remember this special thing that has happened. And I remember the very first person that we did this for. He was a young man, a single parent family, living with his mothers and his sisters. And at the end, we pray for him. We pray for the person, and then we give him a chance to respond. It's only about an hour, right?
Right.
But at the end of it, he was so broken up. He was crying.
Mm.
And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know what? No one has ever cared enough to kind of gather around a group of men, to gather around
right.
me to do something like that. Right, and
mm-hmm.
it was then that I kind of realized that, you know, this is something that we have to do. You know, this is something that is important. You know, to guide our young men. You know, sometimes we try to attack the problem when it's a full blown problem, right? And
right.
so we need to make a start there. If we can prevent these things from happening. You know, time is going to go on anyways. At least we can be further ahead.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Brother Andrew, did you want to touch base on that?
Well, I just think it's an excellent idea to kind of it's a checkpoint, really, to let young men know, hey, you know what, you are becoming a man. You are
mm-hmm.
changing. You are developing.
Right.
It's as Israel was saying before, sometimes we go through life with our eyes closed and just follow the motions.
Right.
But it's a great thing to kind of purposely acknowledge a change with your peers and with older men that you look up to who are already mentors in your life or people of significance in your life. Or people
right.
that they look up to kind of say that you are becoming a man. These are the challenges that you're going to face. You know, I was there. I will be here as you continue to go through it. And you can call on me for help or for prayer, anything you need. I was once there. Here are the pitfalls to avoid.
Right.
You know, it's basically purposely acknowledging the next step, not to add too much pressure to them to constantly think about, okay, I'm changing now. I have to do this and this and this.
but just mm-hmm. to kind of consciously think about life differently and know that as that young person, I am being shaped into something and kind of play a part in who I become rather than allowing, you know, external forces, society, family to dictate what I'm going to become, but being cognizant of the fact that God is changing me to be something
yes.
and kind of just allowing the older men to kind of lead you in that direction.
When there's a physical presentation, so to speak, or recognition, and it was saying how the person was emotionally overcome, and I think because you take it serious, because it sort of reminded me of an ordination. When there's an ordination and you have all the elders in the church and the bishops and all of those big people laying hands on you, you start to realize, wow, this is so real. Like, there's no turning back. And you realize how serious
exactly.
it is, because people of importance taking it so serious, and they're basically, like we joked around at the beginning there, Brother Maurice, passing the torch, because in a way it's sort of like saying, okay, we're lighting your torch now. Hold it high and go for it. And you start to realize that these same people who are acknowledging you becoming that man are also there to support you. And it's kind of nice, because it's kind of like as you go forth, you start to realize that if I look back and I need help or I reach out, those same people are rooting for me. So it's not even just we're pushing the bird out of the nest, but we're actually trying to let them know, and we're still watching you as you fly.
Yeah, as
yes,
you mentioned
I know.
Before.
It's
yeah.
a girly thing to say.
Hey,
I have to let my listeners know that these guys all ganged up on me and told me, because I said, am I one of the guys now? And they all said no. Brother Dante, you're quiet. Do you want to add anything to our discussion?
Sure, I'm like what Jesus does. You know, he was an example. The whole thing to this for someone to learn is you definitely got to show love to these young guys. I'm going back to when you were saying far as men, sleeping with men and all this stuff, and I have to think about my children. I got an 8-year-old that I have to talk to. I have to meet him on his level. So the key thing is meeting people on their level.
Right.
Through the midst of all this, that's the only way anybody's going to get anything, through hurt, through pain, through situations. Because their thing is, we can say a whole bunch of words, but they're still just saying, can you help me? How do I become
right.
a man? My question is, how do I become a man? Sometimes I just need to get right to it, you know, and we're living in this instant world. They want to know how, so... The key thing is just love, because sometimes it's not just saying something, it's just the body language of you, those that do know, that's the only way this thing is going to work. We got to step out. We got to go do it. We have to show love and follow the word. That's pretty much what I was thinking.
No, that's good. That's good. And I think it's important,
you know,
too, because, go ahead, who was this?
This is Israel.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you. You can go ahead, but I just had an interesting thought. This is an interesting thought. I was like I told you, I'm a high school teacher, and I'd given my class a test one day, and the front page of that test was blank. It was like a cover page, and I said that you know what? When you're done with the test, it was on World War One. And I said, look, when you're done with the test, why don't you draw a picture or write a poem about World War One, and I might give you an extra bonus mark. And there was a young man, and he wrote a full page, and he said, and I don't even know why, but he said, this is my rant, because I'm confused. I don't know what it means to be a man. Right, and he wrote about that. He said stuff like, you know what, there are confusing messages about masculinity and manhood, and you know they say that a man is this and a man is that, but you know what, I don't know, you know, and it was it just kind of caught me off guard, you know.
Right.
And because I was thinking to myself, God, you know, why did you do that, right? You know, why did you inspire this guy to do that? But there is such, I think, a cry, you know, there's a need for men to step up and to be with young men. You know, I'm reading this book. I don't particularly recommend it, but it's an interesting book. It's called Iron John, right? And the guy's not a Christian, but he makes some interesting points about masculinity and initiation. And one of the things that struck me in the book, he said that, you know what, boys, young men, used to work with their fathers. They saw their fathers, what their fathers did. They worked on the farm. They did the jobs that their fathers did. But nowadays, young men don't see their father's work. They don't see their father's work. You know, he talked about the Industrial Revolution, and all of a sudden the father's gone to a factory or someplace else working. And there's this thing that's missing, you know, this connection that's missing between older men and boys and young men. And we don't see our fathers working, you know. You know, there's a gap. In our understanding and what we see, and I'm the only boy, and I grew up in a family of four, and I have three older sisters, right? But he made an interesting thought in this book, and he said that boys, especially if they're really close to their mothers, they see their fathers through the eyes of their mothers. And they don't necessarily see their fathers from a masculine point of view. What they see and know about their fathers is a picture that they see through the lens of their mothers, right? So there is.
I'm going to
pass
right there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you just hit something too, because I think with a lot of the boys growing up in this world in a single parent household, and there are some men who are raising their kids I just totally admire men who raise their children by themselves, because a woman doing it alone is hard enough, let alone a man. But I think that is one of the key things, and that, as I said at the beginning of this discussion, that it's time that we gave recognition to the good ones. And I think what happens is, I believe that every household that has got a single parent, especially a woman, raising a boy, needs to be able to allow for male influence in their child's life. And that's why they started creating things like the Big Brother and groups like that, because they need to have men around. And I've always said, let the grandfathers, let the uncles, let the brothers, let everybody be involved in that boy, because I told my stepson, I can teach you how to be a decent young man. I can try and teach you how to be a good man, but I cannot teach you to be a man, because I have never been one. And so it's important that, I think it's important that a young boy at a certain age becomes a point in his life where he needs to know about male things. I mean, it was great that he and I had this great relationship that he could talk to about anything, even personal body changes. But I'm sorry, I'm not a man. I'm not going to understand the things his body is going to go through. I'm not going to understand what it's like to be in the playground with a bunch of guys and they're calling him a name because he wasn't man enough. Like, I wouldn't know what that feels like, because I would never have to be in a situation like that. And I think it's important that we have to allow the women to allow men to be involved with their children. We're not saying that you can't raise your children, but they still need a male influence, and good positive male influence. And the one thing you shouldn't do, no matter how disgusting that man is that might have made this child, you cannot do that, because a lot of women will put down the men, and that's all this young boy is hearing, that men are horrible, men are this, men are that, and all they hear is a negativity on a man. How good of a man can that person feel, because he's a man? He's going to be a man one day.
Yeah, and that really starts a negative chain reaction, because when a woman is the head of a single-parent family, whatever her experiences can cause a lot of bitterness. And when that bitterness is expressed, even implicitly, to their child, you know, whether it's a young girl or a young boy, they see that, and it does shape their view of men and masculinity. And it really does start a chain reaction that can be negative or positive. But if there's a lot of hurt in the single mother, and that hurt is expressed on any level, it's definitely picked up by the child and can shape their perception of men. It's a horrible chain reaction,
and
I've
he can either feel uncomfortable being a man, or he can end up being angry that he's a man. He can feel less of a man. He can become that same disgusting man that you keep talking about, because he thinks that's his job, to become like that man. You just don't know what
that's
it's going to do. I want to touch base with Brother Maurice. How we doing there? Any last words you want to add to our topic here, brother?
Yes. Everything that's been said thus far is totally correct. I feel like, you know, God created man to be the head of everything. He gave us dominion and power. And when there's not a man in the household, the whole family falls apart. Here's why. The Bible makes no mistakes in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way that he may go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I grew up in a house of three. I got older brothers. And we watched my mom raise us. Like one of my brothers said about the woman, I take from my mom, I know how to wash clothes, I know how to wash dishes, I know how to keep a house clean and everything, but I don't know how to change the oil in a car. I don't know how to pump the gas in a car. This was coming up, and I didn't have these qualities coming up because I watched my mother do all this stuff. And so my mother, looking for love herself, all these different men coming in and out of her life made me feel like, wow, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to have a lot of different women.
Let's not put your mother's business out there.
No, I mean, we're adults now. She's an adult. I'm an adult. But this is what I saw coming up. So when I got, I said to myself, when I get older, I'm going to have a lot of different women, because it's cool for mama to have a lot of different guys. And these guys wasn't coming around. These guys wasn't coming around trying to mentor me. They were just after what my mom can give them. So I saw this with my own eyes coming up. So I pushed away from my mom and ran to the streets. What's in the streets? Drugs, gang banging, sex, stealing. I got into all of that. I even got incarcerated, did 2 years for Grand Theft Auto. But I learned a lesson while I was incarcerated. These sexuality spirits of same sex come from the prison, men sleeping with men and women sleeping with women, because when you're locked up for so long, you get sexual desires, and who else are you going to have it with if you're locked up with another man or you're locked up with another woman? Thank God it didn't happen to me when I was locked up, but that's where these spirits come from. And so now they're out on the streets rapping and running wild. And so we have to reach these young men, like one of my brothers said. What can we do to captivate their minds to get them to see that they don't have to be in the situation they're all? Well, God gave me music.
Right.
Music is a nationally known thing that I don't care where you go, you're going to hear some type of music. And so God gave me that channel to reach these young men, and he gave other men the voice with that power and authority to speak and change their lives.
Amen. Amen. That was Brother Dante. You got anything you want to add to what we're talking about this evening?
No, I'm in full agreement. I'll just say, just teach them relationships. What we do know, that's right. That's the only way we can help them, just showing them what we know. That's the best way, just being you, and that's being what God wants you to be. Just pass it on and continue to keep that thing growing, and let it just keep going. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
I'm in full agreement.
Okay, amen. With our last 5 minutes, what I want to touch base on is, I think I've always, as a minister, and I mentioned this last week when we had Stephane Labossière on the show, the one thing I have found in ministry is that women obviously will submit to God and to Jesus because they need that man in their lives, especially the women who don't have a man around. They hold on even tighter to the Lord because that's the best man they can have. A man will hold on to the Lord and will submit to a point. But I think with men, it's a little harder at times to give up some of the control because they feel they're men. Anybody want to deal with that? We have about 4 minutes.
Wow.
So, so Nunny ain't going to admit to it, huh?
Well, you know, I think that the foundation of manhood and masculinity rests on relationship with God. You know, and, you know, God breathed into Adam, made him a living soul, you know. And I think, you know, if we, to be the best men that we can be, we recognize that God is our foundation. And I think if we take it from that aspect, that it's not, I think, as hard to submit, you know, when we know that God is our maker. Like, he made the first man. He made us. He understands us, you know. But, you know, I would, not to kind of get away from that, but I would challenge men's ministries. You know, I think they are supposed to be there to step in the gap, to fill in the gap. I think that is the purpose of men's ministry, to fill in the gaps. For young men and for boys, you know, and to kind of to show them what relationship with God looks like, you know, so they don't feel that, you know, well, this is something I can't relate to.
Right. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, maybe
yeah,
not. Go ahead. Okay.
No, I was just going to say that these boys just need to see something greater than what they're dealing with, and that's the Jesus in us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was Maurice?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think, was that Dante who wanted to say something a minute ago?
Yep. I was just saying I have no problem because that's something I have to show my son daily as he watched me with his mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as submitting and of giving up control, I mean, once I mature, now at first I used to have a problem, you know, because we like kids at times. At first I had a problem, but as I mature.
Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to comment.
Well, I'm just being honest. But once I seen my son is watching me like a sponge, you know, it helped me to become an even better man. So I don't want him to grow up doing things, you know, so. That's what keeps me. Well, I don't have no problem because I have to be an example for my baby, you know.
That's good. I like that. And that's the other thing, that you got to be careful who's watching you, because everything you do is being watched. Go ahead. Someone was about to say something.
Well, yeah, I was just about to add on to that yeah, kids are watching. And so if we're talking about being submissive to the Lord, you know, my kids watch me both consciously and subconsciously, and they do things that I do without even thinking. And it reminds me of things I used to copy my dad, you know, without even thinking. Even now, things that I do, the way I do them, I got from my dad. I didn't realize it until I actually sat down and thought about it. But watching or having your kids see you pray and so having your kids see you submit to a higher power, and,
amen.
You know, asking the Lord to guide you as you guide them is in a way showing them that you know I'm not the end all be all, but I'm taking my directions from the Lord in training you up to be better than I am. So when it comes to submission, it's good to show your kids that you are submitting to a higher power.
Amen. And I like that. And you know what? And that's a good note to end on. I just want to thank you all so very, very, very much.
Yeah.
Brother Andrew, you have a conference or something coming up, a men's ministry conference?
Yes, Men's Ministry at My Church. It's the Young Men's Summit, our second annual. It is the weekend after the long weekend in May. I believe that's Saturday, May 24th.
Uh-huh.
you know, Saturday at the church, 17 Erie Street Gospel Center in Oshawa, from 1
okay.
p.m. to 4 p.m. Only 3 hours long. We're going to have a motivational speaker rallying the young men to be motivated to take that next step in their lives for Christ. And also we have lunch will be provided for free, and also a bit of a career fair type concept where we're going to have men from different industries and different careers being on hand to kind of coach young men who are looking to pursue a similar career, whether it be real estate, banking, media, anything, politics. There's going to be a series of young men from various backgrounds who are willing to share their experiences and kind of, in a way, mentor or coach young men who are trying to enter similar fields. So it's the Young
right.
Men, Erie Street Gospel Center Men's Ministry Young Men's Summit. That's April
okay.
24th in Oshawa.
Uh-huh. May, sorry. May 24th.
Sorry, May May 24th, the weekend
oh,
after
okay.
the long weekend in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Young Men's
right.
Summit, 1 to 3 p.m. Lunch will be provided, and there's a career fair.
Are you going to email me some of that information so I can post it?
I definitely will.
Okay,
and
perfect.
Could I also make just one more little plug here, if that's possible?
Okay, is this Israel? Uh-huh.
Yes, this is Israel. There's a blog with our men's ministry, it's thegenesisman.wordpress.com, thegenesisman.wordpress.com, and check it out. There are a lot of articles on there, and that might be an interesting resource.
Amen. Email me that info, and we'll post that as well so we can set up a link, okay? Gentlemen? Again, ladies and gentlemen, we were listening to the Pastor J. Rouse Show, and you had Andrew Mahorn, we had Maurice Gray, we had Dante, and Israel Harriet. And I just thank you all very much, gentlemen, for starting a discussion that's been so long overdue, and the world is listening. I'm listening, and I may not be one of the guys, but I certainly didn't mind hanging with the guys tonight. Praise God. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us for our first discussion for the month and our focus on men, because it's long overdue. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you.
Continue to keep up the good work. Yes, I will. Continue to up the good work. Continue to train up your children and love your wives like Jesus loved the church. Amen.
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 Amen. And
amen.
On that note, we're gonna sign off, and we're gonna take it out with my buddy Mr. Maurice Gray, featuring J-Feth and Bishop T.D. Jakes watching, because I think it's so important, and we were just talking about everybody's watching, so you need to hear what Maurice has to say. And this is watching, and from Pastor J. Rouse, I want to wish you all a good week. We'll check in with you next week. God be with you. God bless you. God keep you. And let him continue to be with you until we meet again. This is Watching by Maurice Gray.
Things just ain't the same in my hood. Grew up, we understood if you were soft, it was like that. Nowadays, people pump weights and they tote gas. Scared to take it.
They running from that.
I was taught to look a man in the eye.
That's respect.
Same man you see now, ready to break your neck. I've been through it all, cussed out and stabbed in the back. Serious as heart attacks, they even stabbed me through that. Heart bleed, I'm crying like I'm going off speed. There they go, calling me now, this is just what I need.
Man.
Been around phony enough to know it. When I see it, wanna play me like an A, but I just can't be it. Whistle to this, you know I'ma keep it hot. I'm burning it up, fire. I don't need your spot. Since I come this far by faith, I'ma use it. You want truth? Just listen. Listen to my music.
Research people I know always act like they know. Holier than the ghost out there doing the most. We at clubs and strip shows trying to creep and lay low. Since I know what they know, they don't know me no more.
Church just ain't
ain't the same. I tell ya, it's a lot like the world full of gossip and strangers. Hearts full of anger and they ready to fight. That's from the pulpit down till they turn out the lights. I came to get my mind off things. Looking for change,
you know me,
looking if... for peace. I can't find it here. This year, I lost a homie to gangs. He didn't bang, so my things retaliate and shoot up some things. But I heard, love your brother, forgive him and pray. I wanna smack him. Then walk away. Since I know the truth, I'ma conduct myself. Restrain from foul talk so I don't curse myself. It's bad when the place that they go, they got issues. They act like they miss you, and you do something wrong. Now they talking about you, gossip. You feel beaten, that's church hurt. You leave and go back to the street.
These church people I know always act like they so holier than the ghost. Out there doing the most. We at clubs and strip shows trying to creep and lay low. Since I know what they know, they don't know me no more.
And throughout your life, if you're not careful, particularly if you're broken, you will mistake your constituents for your confidants.
Things just ain't the same for folks that be running around performing, acting like it's the ghost. They hating church or criticize the most, but in hopes to get to heaven when they blesses they choke. They point fingers and I hate to erupt, but I'm mad because they out sinning more than us. They get vexed when the pastor preach and barely be wanna clap when the truth be speak. And he be talking that to you and me. How you first to throw a stone sinning more than me? I guess being a hypocrite don't matter to you. You ain't gotta cover your mouth, I'm only telling the truth. This he Satan provides setting fire to you. And if God was ruthless, he'll raise your roof. Just know that your blessings, you're blocking. This the voice of the Lord right here.
These church people I know always act like they so holier than the ghost. Out there doing the most. We at clubs and strip shows trying to creep and lay low. Since I know what they know, they don't know me no more.
And you will think that they are for you when they are really not for you. They are just for what you are for. And by the time you get to falling in love with them, they will break your heart as they hook up with somebody else who is for what you are for. Because it was never about you anyway. It was about the causes that you represent. They are for what you are for, but they are not for you. They are your constituents. Can I go deeper with this?
Hello.
the smile.